Well, good morning. Now, I'm looking for a more lively bunch. So, yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you can get nervous because if you guys aren't excited enough and I don't hear enough from you, I'll call you up by name. How does that sound? Everybody like that idea? Okay, no. So, let's get involved. Andy, I'm going to call you out number one. So, what's really a blessing is that I get to see people grow up. This is a whole sidetrack, and it just God put it on my heart right now. Years ago, when I didn't know what I was called to do, I worked with youth. I worked with John Johnson. I worked with Andy. And I worked with Lorelei. And I got to work with some of these youth that are still coming around, and so they still must like me a little bit. But they love the Lord, and that's the best part, is watching people grow up in the Lord. I was blessed on Monday to go listen to the coach, Leslie Frazier. And Leslie is the Minnesota Vikings' new head coach. Now, you might be surprised that my wife didn't come with me, but I ended up bringing some non-believers with. Leslie Frazier is a strong Christian man. And as I was listening to him, and I walked out of there on Monday, I knew what my sermon was. I knew my sermon was so much that I ended up texting Andy. Now, for the younger kids that do not want to listen to my whole sermon, and you guys get a little rambunctious, for the ones that are, how old, Jessica? 4 and under. If you're 4 and under, you can go with Jessica, and you can go color and take it easy. You don't have to listen to Pastor John. You can have an out. And Kevin, he already left. So, no. If you're younger and you'd like to go color, you can go with Jessica. She'll hang out with you. But for the rest of you, my sermon started changing all week long. I ended up texting somebody and I saying the sermon is all about service. But God started changing my sermon. And as He changed my sermon, I was learning about Leslie's faith and about how Leslie's faith made a difference. When he had a knee surgery, he didn't recover from it. He went to get the physical, and he couldn't pass the physical. Pro football was done. Now, Leslie talked about a lot of times when he'd see this happen, the players' lives would crush. And the strong man that they were would fall. And a lot of them fell into depression, drinking, drugs. And he says it was terrible. But his faith that he got from his grandmother helped him through this, knowing that God made him for a purpose. Leslie said what James says, that his perseverance in trials made him who he is. And as he was trying to get head coaching jobs in other places, he never dreamed it would be here in Minnesota. In fact, the way the season went last year with snowstorms and not knowing where they're going to play the game was making the whole team a little uneasy. When Coach Dungy called him, he says, God has a plan for you. Stay faithful. Wow, you're looking at talking about men that are just strong Christian men. And God kept changing what this sermon was all about. God has a plan for each and every one of us. Last time I preached, last Sunday morning, it was all about why. Why me, Lord? And we went through Job and about the why. Well, this is the answer to the why. God brought me the answer. So let's pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, as I studied Your Word and prayed what You wanted to be said from the pulpit, may the words that come out of my mouth be Your words. Just use me as a vessel. And as I read Your Word, Lord, may it flow. And may the ears, our ears, Lord, may the Holy Spirit open our hearts to hear the Word, and may it be life-changing. We pray this in Your name, Lord. Amen. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 8 we're going to look at. This is the Word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So, I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do this? Can I not do with you as the potter does? Declared the Lord. Like the clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that the nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Who's in charge? A little bit louder. God is in charge. There's no question. Who made all things? God. We're told that in Genesis 2:7. God made all things. And he made man and he formed us from dust, from the earth. And he breathed life into us. And in Genesis we're told that God created all things. It actually tells us the cycle that he does. So if God created all things, he's in control, right? Well, if you created something and you built something, whose is it? Yours. Correct. And if you made something, who has the right to change it? You do. So if God made all things, he made this world, does he have the right to change what's going on in it? Yes. We are told in Jeremiah 18, it is clear that God is in control. He has us. In fact, Sam is a potter. I don't know if he's got his potter wheel going, but he knows how to make pots. And he knows that he's in control as he's making that pot, and as he's changing it and making it the way he sees fit. He's in control of that clay. And he has the ability to judge it. Oh, it just doesn't look right, so I'm going to change that. And so he's overseeing it and seeing what's right. God does have the right over us. And Jeremiah is telling us that. Listen, God is in control and he is the judge. Then last week we asked the question, why? Then why do we ask the question of God, why? If he's in control and he has that. I think Paul can tell us a little bit more. And Paul tells us in Romans 9:20-21. But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Yeah, who are we to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who has formed it, why did you make me like this? Why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? Doesn't Paul tell us that? He can make us the way he wants us to be. Sometimes as Christians, we look at that and say, well, that's not fair. It's not what I wanted. Some of us might even say, and I'll use myself, I'm just too short. If you ever stood next to me, I'm not very tall. I am short. And I don't read very well sometimes, and I don't write very well. But that's the way God made me. But why? Why did I have to grow up in a poor household? Why did I have to work so hard to gain the things that I have in this world? Why? Some people just have things handed to them. Why? Well, I can answer the why a little bit. Read James. When I read James a few years ago, the whys were answered. Because the trials and tribulations that happen in our life build character in us. And the character builds the purpose and why we're created. Leslie talked about this, and that's the piece that I kept hearing ringing as he talked to me about it. He lost being a pro athlete. But he gained the wisdom and the strength and the knowledge to become a head coach Wow. Which he's going to be able to do longer than he would have been able to play pro football anyways. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. James is a great place to go looking for that. If you want the answers to why, look at James. James talks about that in the very first chapter. The tests and trials will help develop us in perseverance, and we should be thankful for them. For what the devil wants to use to bring us down, God wants to use to bring glory. He loves you. He wouldn't allow things to happen. Remember I talked about Job and all the things that happened terribly to him? He wouldn't allow them things to happen if there wasn't a reason. And the part of the reason was for poor Job was so that we could hear the Word of God. How many lives were impacted because Job's life was torn apart? There is a purpose. And we should be clear that God has a purpose in our lives. What's the purpose for your life? Do you know? Do you know the purpose for your life? And how you're supposed to serve the Lord? Now, you've heard me talk in the past about our gifts. And that's a whole other area that we can use the gifts that are given to us. But we've all been given the same purpose. Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and tell them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to go to the end of the age." We have a purpose. We've all been given a purpose through Matthew 28:19. Was that clear? How many of us really know that we're supposed to be telling people about Jesus? And then, if we do know it, how many of us are doing it? I see some people invited some people. Them are the people that are doing it. They are doing Jesus' work. Glenn, thank you for walking in because I'm thankful you tell people about Jesus. People are here at Northbrook because he took a moment to tell somebody. Somebody took a moment to tell us to come. But Pastor John, you don't understand how hard it is to tell somebody. This summer, I'd like to see some Sunday school classes that's going to help us understand how to share our faith. But if your boss told you to do something, and it was ethical and okay to do, would you do it? Would you do it if your boss told you to do something? Yes! And if it was something you didn't know how to do and it was hard to do, I took a job and I didn't know how to use Excel. I had to learn Excel on the computer so I could do my job. I couldn't tell my boss, "Well, I don't know how to do that. You hired me. I don't want to do it." It wasn't an option. I had to learn it. How many of the younger people, if your parents told you to do something, would you do it? Poor Jack looked down. Jack does listen better to me than his mother, and that's not right. But we're going to take care of that at home. Or do we want to have a group meeting on Jack? No, I'm just kidding, Jack, being the poor pastor's son. But Jack is a strong man, and he is a believer. But if you're told to do something by your boss or by your parents, we do it. The Word of God told us in Matthew 28 we're supposed to share the Word. Are we doing it? I don't think we're doing it as well as we could. Some are doing it better than others. Some of us don't have the tools needed. There might be some tools I need to have. Let me ask you this. If the gym across the street was on fire, the building's in blaze and the fire's all over, how many of us would just sit here and listen to my sermon? Hopefully none of you would sit here and listen to my sermon, because hopefully I would be over there with you trying to save people if they're there. If there's people there that are hurting and burning in the fire, we're going to go save them, right? Or we're going to call a fireman, right? We're going to go make a difference. We don't want nobody to burn. Well, we don't want nobody to burn in hell either. In fact, I need a fireman. John Jr., I know that you're going to school to become a fireman. You probably don't like me for calling you up, but come up here. And I'm going to ask Andy to come with you because he's standing next to you, and that's Andy's fault. Shouldn't stand next to John because there's a teaching out there on how to tell people about Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. The Scripture should be used. We should take the Bible to people and tell them about the Word. This Word will save your life. You won't be going to hell and burn. So, you two gentlemen, you wouldn't mind volunteering, would you?
I don't think you have a choice.
Yes, you don't have a choice because authority said you had to be here, your dad. And Andy, you are like a son to me. We've really bonded. So, you kind of get the drop down. You're a son, so you need to listen. But I'd like to ask you guys some questions, and both of you guys have been through some of these teachings, so I know that you might have it. So, I know that they're both Christians, but right now for this event, they're non-Christians. You're both heathens, okay? I'd like to ask you both heathens some questions. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
If you were to die today, where would you go?
To heaven.
Where would you going
to
go?
Well, I think I'm a pretty good person, so I'd probably go to heaven.
Okay, so you think you're going to go to heaven. Do you mind answering some questions and we can find out for sure?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Have you ever told a lie?
Maybe a little white lie.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little lie? Okay. So what does that make you? If you told a lie, what are you?
A human.
Yeah, a human. I would say.
Now, if I told you a lie, what am I?
You'd definitely be a liar.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm a liar.
You're a liar.
You're human.
Yep.
Let me give you some truth. If you told a lie, you are a what?
A liar.
You're a liar. Okay. Let me ask you this. Have you ever used God's name in vain? You hit your hand. The first words come out of your mouth are, have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Plenty of times.
Sorry to hear that. But if you use God's name in vain, that's blasphemy. That's against the first commandment. Love the God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's blasphemy. Okay. And we're going to go through some of the different Ten Commandments and ask you some different questions. Have you ever stolen anything? I mean, anything.
What do you mean, stolen?
Taken something that's not yours. Have you ever stolen?
Well, maybe a piece of candy when I was younger or something.
Yeah, probably the same thing.
Okay. So that makes you a what?
But it was when I was younger, so it doesn't count, right?
But if I committed a crime when I was younger, and it was a crime, am I not a what? I mean, if I stole something, and you didn't catch me, it never happened? It did happen. Thank you out there. Yeah. So, if I took your jacket right now, what would I be?
Be a stealer.
And what I'd be a thief. Okay? If I'm taking something, I'm a thief. It's not rightfully mine. I'm coveting something. Let me ask you this. There's some beautiful ladies out there. Let's not use these ladies. Let's go to the beach. We're going to make it really hard for you to even cross this up. You're at the beach. Okay? Have you ever looked at a lady lustfully, wrongly?
Yes, I am a male.
Yeah, most guys do.
Most guys do. Okay. Jesus tells us that if you look at a woman lustfully, it is a sin. It's just like committing adultery. Okay? Now, you both said that you're going to heaven. But let me ask you this. Out of the Ten Commandments, I only asked you four. And you've told me that you're a lying, thieving, blasphemer, and you also lust after women. You've committed adultery in your heart against God. Do you think you're going to heaven?
Still think I'm a good person more than others.
Let me ask you this. You both committed a crime, and you're in the courtroom. You're in front of the judge, and you've committed a crime that's $50,000 fine and jail time. And you're guilty. Would you guys admit that you could be guilty?
Probably.
Okay. You're guilty standing in front of a judge. The righteous judge has the right to put you in jail. And you tell the judge, but judge, I'm a good person. Do you think he's going to let you go home or going to put you in jail?
Probably put you in jail.
So if you're going to go to jail because you've committed a crime, why wouldn't God the Almighty, the one in control, the one that created everything, the one that made the rules, that's why we have the Ten Commandments, why would he let you go? He's going to have to condemn you to hell. You are going to hell by your own admission. How does that make you feel?
Not that good.
But now, let me tell you a little secret here. While you were standing in front of that judge, and that judge is going to pass sentence on you, and you are going to go to hell, a man steps in. And that man pays your fine. And that man pays for your prison sentence in hell. And that man's name is Jesus Christ. He paid your sentence so that you could go to heaven. Would you like to know Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, guys. You guys can head back. You can take the mics with you if you want. It doesn't take that much. And that was just a fast skit put together so that you could see that the Word of God can be used. We have some other things that you can use. On the back table, there's the book of John. One of the elders was nice enough to buy a whole bunch of them. They're in different colors and different packets, in fact. I think I have one right here. Hard to believe I'd have one. They're just a little book like this. Take them, share them with others. If people are burning in the next building, we're going to run over and help them. But if they're going to burn in eternity forever, don't you want to take the time to stop and help them and invite them to church? That's why I was so blessed to see that there's new people in church today. Because somebody's already doing what I wanted to say. Matthew 28:19, we all have a purpose. And there's multiple purposes we're here for. But we have the purpose to share the good news. And James tells us that through our trials and tribulations, we are going to have hard times. As Christians, we're never promised life's going to be easy. Because through them, we're going to be made the potter. We're told in Jeremiah on how the potter forms the clay. God is forming us still, I believe. He's forming the things that happen in our lives and forming us who we are so that we can do the things that nobody else can do. Vicky talked about how her sister's there. Nobody else can take the place of that sister. God put her there so that them two are together throughout life. And it's been a blessing that they've been able to be together. And then Paul's telling us there is a purpose. Each is made for a purpose. The pot on the shelf that can be the fancy pot that's adorned, God made that for a purpose. But a crack pot like me that's a little dysfunctional, that has a few cracks in it, that's used every day, has a purpose. Each one of us have a purpose. Some of us have been invited by somebody else to this church. What a blessing. I was invited to this church through Andy. Andy told Pastor Bruce about me. Who are you going to tell about? Also on the back is some cards. Our church is kind of a fun place to find. If you'd like to be a card-carrying member and tell somebody about Northbrook, the cards are back there. Take all you want. We run out of them, we'll buy more. Because the purpose is that we're supposed to tell others about Jesus. We're all made for a purpose. Northbrook's mission statement, serve our neighbors with Christ's love. Serve our neighbors in Christ's love. Someday I hope that we're going to be large enough that we can go out there and we can flip pancakes and we can do all these things and serve the community. That's great. But if we feed somebody and not tell them about Jesus, they're going to go to hell. What better thing to do is to tell them about Jesus and give them eternal life. And you're going to watch and how we grow as a community, but even better in how they grow as an individual. These young men that came up here and some of the young people I've talked about earlier, I've watched them grow. And as I get older, it's a blessing. I can see how it is to get older. And we get older, watching younger people grow up has got to be a blessing. People that have been in this church a long time that look back at some of the younger people are just going, wow, it's wonderful to watch that person just flourish. Are we taking the time to invest into others? That's my question to you. Are you doing what God has called you to do? If this sermon touched you at all in that way, then it fulfilled what God had in my heart, is that each and every one of us are for a purpose. Are we doing God's will? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the clarity of your word. And I thank you for the gentlemen that came up here and were allowed to maybe embarrass themselves a little bit, but bring joy. Bring joy to know that the name of Jesus and the commandments that God has given us can convict us and give us the ability to save people. The Word of God is alive and well. We thank you that you've given it to us. We pray this in your name. Amen.